Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso Original. Use as directed.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Hi again.
Oh, hey, we just recorded 47 seconds of maybe our best material yet.
On mute.
On mute.
Yeah, this microphone auto-mutes, which, like, I enjoy because what if I'm bad-mouthing somebody and we hit record? Like, if you're in, like,
that's how you got the name, Badmouth Lindsay.
Like if you're in a Zoom, yeah.
Yeah.
But we also need to notice.
Yeah, it's, like, literally right in my face and yeah. I didn't notice it, but... Anyways, I started off by saying sorry that we missed last week, but we've had a rough end of the month, end of October, and we had to put one of our dogs down.
Yeah, it was like a pre-planned event.
Which,
but
I like, so we had six dogs, and we had more than that before.
There's been other deaths.
There's been other deaths, but like with Tony... It was sudden. It was at the emergency vet. He had a medical emergency and the decision was made and we didn't see it coming.
Yeah. And then with my dog, Tifa, like I saw it coming, but I was like, when do I make the call?
Yeah.
And then I came home one day and she had been
She had made the call for you.
Yeah. She made the call for me. Then it wasn't necessarily an emergency, but it was like, well, it's happening now.
Yeah.
Because I can tell today's the day.
Yeah. But then with our sweet John boy... He was a tripod, so he's missing a front leg. Uh-huh. And so it really became like quality of life situation. And that was like a hard decision to make. So I guess like we had the gift of time in that, you know, we did a lot of lasts. Like we did a lot of last visits and dog parks and treats. And
yeah, it was kind of nice.
It was nice. But like, yeah, it was a very heavy couple weeks leading up to it, knowing.
Yeah. And so we were like, oh, we'll record for sure because we booked some time off like from work because of this
impending sadness.
And then my son punched a kid at school and that sort of just put a damper on everything. The principal wanted to have a meeting at 8 a.m. on Friday. And that was the day the vet was showing up to our house.
Yeah.
And time. And I was like, this isn't going to work for us.
Yeah.
Like one thing after another.
Yeah. Could the principal have come to the house? We could have had an all-in-one.
Oh, yeah. We could have hugged it out.
And then it was Halloween. Yeah, and then.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. It's like one thing after another.
I know. And then we were gonna record on Wednesday. But then.
Wednesday or Thursday when Olivia had a sleepover?
We were going to record Thursday when Olivia had a sleepover, but then.
It was just too loud.
No, there was like 7 14-year-olds.
And they were, this is the same group that was at her 5th birthday and 6th birthday, and they've never been this loud.
I know. They were wacky.
It was fun, though.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Her real birthday is tomorrow on the 11th.
Yeah. So then we're like, let's record Friday. It'll be nice. And then.
Wyatt got a migraine.
Wyatt got a migraine.
Which involves puking. So that, anyways, here we are. It's Sunday. We're doing it.
Here we are. No excuses except.
No excuses.
All of the excuses. All of them.
We got wine. We're ready.
Yes, we've got wine because also we just thought, let's seize the night. And so we're drinking wine and we're also going to record 2 Patreon episodes. So if you like what you're listening to, if you've been listening to us for a while or the first time, hey.
Hey.
I'm Carling. This is Lindsay. And we also have a Patreon, and it's called A Lesbian Recap, because we recap and review much more than just Seventh Heaven. So I've been covering the seasons of The Baxters, which is arguably a more problematic show than Seventh Heaven, but it's filmed in current day. Like, I didn't know. And you've been listening to Catching Up with the Camdens.
Yeah. Beverly Mitchell, what's her name? Ruthie?
Rosemary.
Rossman.
Mackenzie Rossman.
And David Gallagher. So Lucy, Ruthie, and David have a podcast. And like the new thing right now is, so people were like, I don't want to watch anything. I just want to listen. So then podcasts got popular. And now it's all the rage to record yourself recording, like video record yourself recording your podcast. And so that's what they're doing. It's called Catching Up with the Camdens. And I listened. So they just did a few episodes about whatever. And now they're recapping their own show.
Yeah, which is really cool. But I have not listened to it.
So I listened to the first one. So we're going to recap the pilot.
You're going to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Over on the Patreon.
Yes. I'm going to recap their recap.
Of the recap. Of recapping the recap. On the recap podcast.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. Okay, so
episode 12.
Oh, gosh.
Season 3, episode 12. It's called All That Jazz.
And All That Jazz.
Like, I don't know why it's called that, though.
Almost none of the episodes.
Okay, you're right.
Make sense to the title.
You're right.
But all I have in my head is, I'm gonna rouge my knees and put my stockings on. Ba-dum, bum, bum, and all that jazz.
Chicago.
Yeah. Not.
Okay, so this came out January 18th, 1999. We are 1 year away from Y2K.
Oh my God.
A friend of Lucy's seeks refuge in her closet as she tries to deal with the death of his mother.
Right.
As she tries to deal with the death of his mother. Okay. Like, also, he's trying to deal with it.
Yeah, she's just trying to deal with it because it's all about Lucy.
That's true.
She's the middle child.
Yeah.
So, this episode, it just like...
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. It's like a busy episode. And it's like there's not one common theme, I feel like, going through...
Not jazz.
There's no jazz to this.
No jazz hands.
Jazz hands. So do we want to talk about Simon first?
Yeah, that's who I've got first.
Yeah. But that's so first Nigel is back. So Nigel is another pastor's son. Remember there's like the
Hamptons? It's not Hampton.
Isn't it?
Reverend. Is it the Hamptons?
That just sounds too white and bougie, if I'm being honest.
Nigel's their son. The one they've all got a kid that's like
except for Lucy,
who's equal age to the Camden children. Yeah. And Simon and Nigel are BFFs.
And they're having a sleepover, and Simon cannot shut his goddamn trap about Dina.
Yeah. It's their 3 month anniversary.
So does that mean in the last 3 months, Johnny threatened him with a gun? She had to get tested for her cancer coming back. Mm-hmm. And
like, a lot has happened in 3 months.
If that is, like, an accurate chronology.
It's not. And okay. Over on the Patreon, we'll talk about it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whoa. So, yeah, it's their 3 month anniversary, and Simon needs to get her a gift. And Nigel's just like, ugh, like, I came for a sleepover, not a Dina and Simon gossip fest.
I know. And he's like, they're playing with cars, not like... Not dinky cars, not like Hot Wheels.
No, like models. Like
model car. Bigger cars. And they're like, girls like cars.
It's like, yeah. And Simon's like, yeah, they like real cars, not toy cars. Anyway, they end up going to the mall and he finds these butterfly clips and he just thinks they're great. And
Ruthie steals them.
Yeah, Ruthie steals them and he gets them back. And then Nigel says, you know what? I'm leaving. I've been here all weekend and all you've been talking about is Dina. And I thought our friendship was more than that. And so then Eric goes to drive him home and he comes back like an hour later and he's like, well, no one was home.
He's like, I got halfway there and realized nobody was home. Like, isn't that why you're at the sleepover then?
I think the parents should know about this. Like,
they're supposed to be their best friends.
Yeah.
They went camping together.
What is their goddamn name?
I'll look it up. You gotta talk.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'll just stare into the camera. Right. Audio platform.
Audio platform, and we try not to edit.
Yeah. So. And Nigel is the one that had a girlfriend before Simon did.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that maybe, like, he would have had some sympathy, empathy, but maybe because he's currently single, it seems like. But he does make a good point that the term anniversary has...
Hamilton.
Oh, that was going to drive me crazy.
Sorry. The Hamiltons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
They in previous episodes, they've come and stayed at their house when there was a hate crime at the Hamilton church, mm-hmm. and Lucy got cornrows. It was very problematic. Go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. So anyway, he ends up deciding not to give her anything. He's going to make her a nice card, and he apologizes to Nigel, and they do their secret funny handshake, mm-hmm. and all is well.
All is well.
All is well. So then
Ruthie's kind of like in and out of their story.
Yeah, she's sort of, I guess she's the sort of common theme. She's sort of inserting herself into everybody's storyline,
yeah.
and sharing everybody else's storyline with each other.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about Annie and Eric? I feel like that's also kind of like a...
Annie and Eric. So Annie and Eric are at the hospital, which is why Simon's looking after Ruthie and why... she's annoying him.
And Nigel's like, oh, is she having the babies? And Simon was like, don't you think I would tell you that? But they go to the hospital, the Glen Oak Hospital. There's only one.
Yeah.
To pre-register so that when they arrive, like, did you have to do that?
Yeah, I did. So, yeah, I did. So usually, like, your baby doctor helps you with the pre-registration. But I went into the hospital, because I thought I was in labor, but I wasn't. It was Braxton Hicks. So this is with Wyatt. So with Olivia, I just went into the hospital and everything was pre-registered for me through my
gyno.
But then with Wyatt, in between having the kids, I got married and changed my last name.
Okay.
And so then when I was having Braxton Hicks and I didn't realize, and I went into the hospital, they wouldn't even let me cross the threshold until I had provided this paperwork that I had changed my last name because I was registered under my maiden name.
Like, and what if you were crowning?
I know. Like, my mom and I were just standing there, like, filling out a form. And I was like, and then...
That's wild.
It was wild. And then they sent me home and...
Because they were Braxton Hicks.
Yeah, they weren't real. And then when I went back, they just let me walk right through.
Because you're just like, hi, I'm Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I'm crowning.
No. mom drove to the hospital like I was crowning. She was like running red lights at midnight.
Oh my God.
I know. And then like a whole day and a half later.
Yeah. So anyways. Annie and Eric go to the Glen Oak Hospital to pre-register. This seems like a new thing. Eric's like, wow, this is a great new system. And so they're walking the hallways and they're just being dreamy because they're going to have a babies. And they look up and they see this doctor.
And they don't even show his face. We just see the back of his head at this point.
Yeah, he's like signing some papers and he turns and walks away. And Annie and Eric look at each other aghast.
They're like, is that who we think it is?
Yeah, and then they just walk away and the music tells us that something is wrong.
It's amiss.
And so they get back to the house and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe that was Dr. Hastings. And Matt's in the kitchen and he's like, the doctor that almost killed me? And she's like, yeah.
That guy.
We didn't know he was even practicing anymore.
They're like, after he almost killed you, he disappeared and we assumed that he lost his license.
Yeah. Like, first of all, shame on you for not following up on that if it's that serious.
Yeah. So Annie's losing it because she calls the hospital and she's like, okay, but if I go into labor and my baby doctor is not the one that's on call, could I get Dr. Hastings? And the lady on the phone, I guess, is like, yeah, you can.
So yeah, Annie's, he's an emergency doctor.
Yeah. Annie's freaking out. Yeah. So much so that she goes into like a high blood pressure spiral.
Yeah. But what's funny is she's like sitting at the kitchen table. It looked like she was writing, I don't know, a grocery list. And Eric walks in and she's like, we need to go to the hospital. And he's like, is it time? She's like, no, but something's wrong. But like, you were just sitting writing your grocery list or in your prayer journal.
Like waiting for Eric to walk up. Like
the whole, it just seemed it was funny.
Like I'd be like, oh my God, I got to find Carling. Something's wrong with the baby.
Yeah. We're not I'd be like, baby, how are you pregnant? I am a woman.
Something's very wrong.
Very wrong. And so they go to the hospital and they're like, your blood pressure's high, but otherwise you're fine. You need to calm down.
And you're being too loud.
You're being too loud. And so Eric's like, what if we just call and talk to him? And she's like, I am not talking to the man who nearly killed me and our first baby. Da, 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 da.
So what does Eric do? Goes behind her back.
Yeah.
Calls the doctor. Leaves him a message.
And then he calls back and Annie answers. And she's like, oh, Dr. Hastings will be there.
Like by the bike racks?
So, so change of plans. And they go to the hospital to meet with Dr. Hastings.
Dr. Hastings is played by a gentleman named Ed Begley Jr. And he's like one of those guys who's in everything. Like, you're going to see his face.
He's got that face and you're like, oh, wasn't he also in? He's kind of like a strawberry blonde, skinny white guy.
Yeah, he looks like Owen from Grey's Anatomy, but less masculine.
I don't know that show, so I don't know. But so they're just like, they're like, how are you? Shouldn't even be practicing medicine. I was suffering preeclampsia and you put me and my baby at risk. And he was like, yeah, I was young. I didn't know better. I was too confident. And
he says that he was too young and he was too scared to confront them or to talk to them afterwards. And so he disappeared and he went back to
a 3-year residency.
Yeah. He did a 3-year residency. And also
he didn't believe in God back then,
but he does now.
He does now. And he knows that there was a higher power that kept her and Matt alive 21 years ago.
And so what has he become after his 3-year residency? A high risk pregnancy doctor.
Yeah. In emergency. Mm-hmm. So
because of what happened with Matt.
Yeah.
Also, we've been watching Call the Midwife, or we did, but now I can't find the newest season anywhere.
Yeah.
And like back in the day, in the 50s, when Call the Midwife is supposed to be, if you had eclampsia, you were done for.
Yeah, you're dead. They can't save you.
They can't do anything. So like, and this would have been the 80s. Yeah. Late 80s.
Oh, maybe the late 70s. Like, because he would have been a few years older than you.
Yeah. But in real life, he was born in like 1972. So.
Yeah. But anyway, they were like, well, we're calling the board and we're telling them to revoke your license and this, that, and the other thing. And then he's like, well, I didn't believe in God back then, but now I do. And he's like talking about how profound this experience was and what he's learned. And then he answers his phone and it's an emergency. And he's like, I'll be right there. And then he says, I have to run, but I'll be back in a minute if you guys want to wait. And then Annie's like, no, we won't wait. And Eric's like, I don't think we'll be calling the board.
The board.
And he's like, thank you so much. I don't deserve your forgiveness. And
then Annie and Eric kind of like look above them to the gods. The and good Lord. Like, you know, he works in mysterious ways.
May the Lord open.
Under his eye.
We should cover The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, we should.
Like, just like seasons of it, or like not every episode. Yeah.
But the big ones.
Yeah. So
that's it for those guys.
That's it. Still no babies. They're, I mean, presumably due very soon because they're registering at the hospital.
Yeah.
And that's really it for them.
Yeah. Because doesn't she say the reason she calls the hospital and asks about if she would ever get Dr. Hastings, doesn't she say, if I don't make it to my pre-planned C-section date?
Yeah.
She does say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably because of her age and it's twins. She's like a higher risk.
So she probably should have Dr. Hastings. That's what his specialty is.
Yeah. Full circle moment here. So do
we talk about Matt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Matt sees Heather. No, sorry. Mary and Lucy saw Heather at the mall.
And if you need a refresher, Heather is the deaf girlfriend that he met, and she left to go to a deaf college.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
She broke up with him before they left.
Yeah. But he, like, learned ASL for her, and she was heartbroken, but...
And he was heartbroken,
yeah. But... And he's sort of been pining after her, assuming they'd one day get back together.
Even though he's also, like, dating around.
Yeah.
So they saw Heather at the mall. They tell Matt, and he, like, freaks out. He's like, why didn't you tell me? Ah, you gotta tell me right now.
Yeah.
And he, like, grabs a nacho chips and storms out.
Yeah, and then makes a plan to go to the mall to buy some new trousers. Some slacks.
So Matt calls Heather's mom. And, well, he calls Heather's house, and the mom answers. And she talks for Heather on the phone. And Heather is, like, signing, like, don't tell him that I'm here. I don't want to talk to him. And so they hang up. And Heather's mom says to Heather, well, you got to tell him that you're engaged one of these days.
Yeah.
And that you want Eric to be the one that marries you.
Right. Yes.
Like, she shouldn't do that.
No, because I don't think they go to the church.
And even if they do.
Because they met at the airport. Yeah. Like, it's not like Heather's mom is a longtime member of the church and Heather grew up going to the church.
You're right.
They met at an airport. And, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They bumped into each other. Like, literally.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, yeah, like that's a conflict of interest.
It does. Yeah.
It's rude.
It does feel a bit icky.
But now I can't remember, but did Eric like step in at one point and like have a heart to heart with probably. That's what he does. He inserts himself.
Yeah. And so Matt thinks if I get, a new pair of pants. A new pair of pants. I'm going to show up at her house and I'm going to talk to her and we're going to get back together. This is the moment.
So he gets the new pair of pants and everyone's calling them hippie pants.
But like, they just looked
like pants.
They looked maybe a size or two too big, but like that was the style.
Hippie.
Yeah. And Simon's like, not like you have a big butt, just like looks like hippie, like from the 70s. And so Matt's like, all worried about his pants, but he wears them anyway.
Yeah.
So he's sitting in his car trying to get himself psyched up to go there, to go to the door. And Heather walks out and sits in the car. And I know I've said this in the episodes where they first met. I don't know very much ASL. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like they're using real ASL.
Proper sign language.
Like some of the signs, I'm like, oh yeah, it just looks like. If they were just like, Matt, don't even worry. Like, they're not even going to notice. Just.
No one's going to know.
No one's going to know. Just, like, make some signs.
I want to know if she is deaf in real life. So she was in Jerry Maguire. Is there a deaf person in Jerry Maguire?
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
And a movie called, oh yeah, Deaf Woman.
Okay, but maybe she's just skilled. Like, that's her shtick. On her resume, it says, can play deaf. But they should have had a member of the deaf community.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's look at the trivia. Did you know, like her character, Andrea is also deaf?
Okay. So kudos to Seventh Heaven for hiring a deaf actor to play a deaf character. Because yeah. I think, especially like in the, it wasn't that long ago that it wasn't common for people to hire representation, like actual.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So, I mean, maybe the signs are right. It just like doesn't look real.
Yeah.
Like, what do I know?
I know. So Heather tells Matt that she's engaged and she wants Eric to marry them.
Yeah.
And Matt loses it.
He's like, over my dead body.
Not about the engagement, but like, well, he does again. He is upset about that.
Yeah. He's like, but it was supposed to be me and you. And she's like, but I'm in love and I want to marry this guy.
It's been 18 months.
Yeah. Like, calm down. Okay. So we find out they're getting married in May. And Matt is upset. And then Heather shows up at his house later. And they have a heart-to-heart. And he says, I'm sorry for how I acted. And she's like, I'm sorry that I hurt you. But this is happening. I'm getting married. And I'd love for you to be there. And they hug it out.
I'm glad you wrote that, because I just wrote Heather shows up at Camden's and didn't write anything else. And I was like, what? She did?
Yeah. She went up to the attic.
Right. Oh, yeah. His bedroom.
Yeah. So Heather's back in the picture, but like.
Stay tuned for their wedding, maybe. Or we'll never hear from her again.
Yeah.
It's either or.
So then let's talk about Lucy.
Okay, should we talk about Lucy and Mary kind of together, or?
Yeah, like the whole show kind of opens up with Lucy teasing Mary, saying, yeah, you haven't been on a date since when? Oh, with, what's her boyfriend?
Wilson.
Jordan? Yeah, Lucy's dating Jordan. And she's like, oh, right, since you went out with Jordan before I started dating him. And I'm just like, Lucy, that's not the flex you think it is. No. But
And she keeps telling Mary, you used to, when you were dating Wilson, boys were calling you all the time, and now you don't have a boyfriend, and so no one's calling you.
Yeah.
And so we went back and watched it twice. There is zero mention that Mary has gotten back together with Wilson, except Ruthie at one point says to Eric, well, Mary's got back together with Wilson, and then Lucy says something about Mary getting back together with Wilson, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
When did they say this?
So it definitely ended up on the cutting room floor because they reference it. And so we go all the way back to the beginning and it was never brought up.
It was never said. I was like, did we miss something?
Yeah.
But then
nothing gets by us.
Nope. Nothing. Okay. So Mary, because now it's been put out in the universe that she's gotten back together with Wilson, even though maybe it's real, maybe it's not. All of a sudden, the phone starts ringing off the hook. And who calls Mary? None other than Mike, the guy who hit her with his car. Who is also the guy that was...
Hit and run Mike.
Yeah. He's also the guy that was like borderline sexually harassing her. And she...
No, he was sexually harassing
her. Oh, he was flicking her bra strap.
He was flicking her and pinching her. And then
she gave him a swirly.
She gave him a swirly. And then they were at the principal's office. And the badass principal was like, that is sexual harassment. Do you want to press charges?
Yes.
And everyone's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. And so he's also the one in that fateful season finale where she's... Why did she run outside? Was she just crossing the road? Was she... Somehow she ended up in an intersection and he flew by and the acting of her career happened while she rolled along the road injured.
Into the ditch. And then she like had a blown out knee. And while she was in the hospital, he came in and apologized.
Yeah. And he owned up. He said it was me.
So he's like, oh, let's go out. And she's, let's go to the billiards. I'm just down the street.
Yeah. He's like, I really want to talk to you. Can I pick you up in 5 minutes? And she's like, no, I don't think my parents would like me to be in a car with you. I'll see you in 5 minutes and I'll meet you.
So she goes to the billiards and they just flirt like crazy.
Like, ew, like in a non-realistic. And he's like, you know, you haven't changed one bit. You're still beautiful. First of all, it's been like 2 years.
Yeah, they keep saying 2 years. But once again,
I think it's like 2 school years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like maybe he was a grade above her and
he's 2 years older. He's Matt's age.
Yeah. And then,
but that doesn't track because she's only a year younger than Matt in school.
Yeah. So in grade 11, in the 11th grade, this accident happened. Mm.
I see. And now it's the first year of university for Mike.
And she's in grade 12. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Mike is like, I'm a different person since I ran you over with my car. I've really reflected and I just really want to date you. And she's like, well, he walks her home and he's like, I just really want to date you. And she's like, well, I'm back together with Wilson. And he's like, oh, my timing is just so bad. But then he leans in to kiss her and they're like making out.
They're making out.
And then Matt comes around the corner And Mary's like, oh my God. And she shoves him. She's like, get off me.
Yeah. And she's like, and that's for hitting me with your car. And then she runs into the house. And I took a screenshot of it. So I'm going to post it on TikTok and Instagram.
It's super funny.
No, I don't know if I can post it on TikTok. I can't get into our TikTok.
Oh, I can though.
Yeah. I'm just like, also, why can't I switch accounts?
I don't know. Maybe you're blacklisted or something.
Yeah.
So then it all comes out that Mary was actually lying that she got back together with Wilson so that the guys would start calling her.
Right. And all these guys started calling her once the rumor got out that she's back together with Wilson.
And then she's like, oh, I really hope Mike calls me.
Right.
And lo and behold, he's at the church with her in the last scene.
Yeah.
The scene of the crime, if you will.
Yeah. He's like a few rows back, but they're like making googly eyes at each other.
Yeah.
But then Wilson phones.
Does Wilson actually phone?
Yes. And Mary's like, Lucy, what did he say? And she said, Wilson asked if I heard that you two were back together. And I said, yes, I heard that. And he said, okay, I'll call back later. Like, I think he wants to have a conversation with Mary about this rumor.
Lying.
So.
Okay. So Lucy's all hyped up that she's going on a date and Mary's not. That's like the whole
thing. Yeah.
And ding dong, the doorbell rings. And who's at the door? Haven't seen him for a few episodes. Rod.
And Rod's the guy who like talked with like a.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Like a surfer dude dialect or something. And he had like a weird mustache. He was 14.
And he's Jimmy Moon's best friend.
But they weren't best friends yet. They became best friends fighting over Lucy.
Yeah. And then remember they did that project together where they had to go to the soup kitchen.
Yeah. And they had to like follow Eric around.
Yeah. They picked Eric to be like the bring your kid to school day.
Yeah.
Work day. Not school. So Rod's like, hey, Lucy, my mom just died.
Well, no. She's like, Rod, what are you doing here? This is very inappropriate. I'm waiting to go on a date with my much older boyfriend. And that is disrespectful to him. And quite honestly, I don't think he'd appreciate it. And I don't appreciate it. She's like tearing him a new one. And then he's like, my mom died. And she's like, oh.
And he's like, I just don't want to be at my house right now with all my relatives. And my dad thinks I'm at Jimmy Moon's. And can I sleep in your closet?
Yeah. And so... Now Lucy and Mary and Rod are in their bedroom and they're like, what are we going to do? And Mary's like, just tell mom and dad, like they'll be understanding.
They'll let you sleep on the
couch. And he's like, no, I don't want to have a talk with your parents. I just want to be alone.
He basically is like, I don't want your dad to insert himself.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the episode, after Eric does insert himself, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Well, is it Lucy that's like, sorry about my dad?
Yeah. Sorry, my dad talked to you. So he decides he just wants a night or two by himself and he'll sleep in her closet. And she like brings him food and water.
They're sneaking into the bathroom.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's just sad. And she's like, I know how you feel. My friend died last year. And he's like, your friend, my mom died. So I guess she had cancer and his dad like isn't dealing with it well, or
he wasn't dealing with it since they found out that she had cancer. Mm-hmm. And since then, all he's been doing is like keeping busy work. He's been renovating their house and putting new floors in and da 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 da, which is like how he's dealing with his grief. But Rod, on the other hand, is like, he wasn't even there for my mom. I was the one that was there. I'm not even going to go to her funeral because I already said goodbye in the moment and he wasn't even there. So
yeah,
he needs to go to therapy.
Yeah, he needs therapy, not Eric.
Yeah.
So
they're sneaking him to and from the bathroom, and Ruthie sees him.
Yeah.
So then Ruthie is just taking it upon herself to be like his closet buddy.
Yeah.
So Ruthie's in the closet hiding with her new butterfly clips she stole from Simon.
Yeah.
And the neighbor tells Eric that Rod's mom has passed away. And Eric's like, I wonder if Lucy knows. And Annie's like, well, she obviously doesn't. She'd be in tears.
Yeah.
And so Eric's like, well, I'm going to go tell her. And Annie's like, well, I'm not going to let you do this one alone. I'm coming too. So they go up to the bedroom and they can hear like whispers.
They hear a little kid in the closet saying, go fish.
And Ruthie and Rod are in there playing cards. Yeah. With the biggest deck of cards ever.
It's one of those, like, kid decks that are
easy to hold and giant in numbers.
Yeah. For kids and seniors.
And so, yeah, Annie and Eric find them. He tells Eric about how upset he is at his dad. And sure enough, Eric had already talked to the dad because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
And he's mad the dad was remodeling the house and he doesn't want to go to the funeral.
Yeah.
And then he decides he will go to the funeral.
He will go to the funeral and they see him at church. And I just wrote, why is Rod's dad so short?
Yeah, he's a funny little actor. I looked him up. I don't know who he is. He's in like six things.
But like, from a casting perspective, I just think it's odd. And I'm not like, oh, he's just a little bit shorter. Like, Rod is probably, what, 5'8"?
Well, he's hit a growth spurt for sure.
Sure. Let's say he's 5'10", to be generous. You tell me why they cast a man. So Rod has, like, dark hair, like, maybe more of an olive complexion. Say he's 5'9", 5'10".
He's got, like, tall, dark, and handsome thing going on.
Sure. Like, for an awkward 15-year-old.
Yeah. And his dad has got a short, Danny DeVito thing going on.
But blonde, curly hair, and I kid you not, he looks like he's about 5'4".
He kind of looks like Cody Brown from
Sister Wives, but very short. And I just like, what an odd, did the actor that they hired not show up that day for shooting, and so they just put in a production assistant?
Had they already shown Rod's dad, but maybe that ended up on the cutting room floor, but they just had a contract.
Continuity, they had to bring him back.
Bring him back.
I have a lot of questions about this.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, it doesn't track.
It doesn't track, but they hug it out, and which makes it all the more awkward because their height. And
everything's fine.
And all that jazz.
And all that jazz. This was kind of a boring episode.
Yeah, it was a bunch of little mini stories. Like, it's almost like they needed a filler to keep the mundane things in their lives
going
along amidst the bigger stories.
It's because they have too many actors and they're about to have two more.
Yeah.
After these twins are
babies
born
to deal with.
Like, and we know that in the later episode or in the later seasons, the older kids disappear and the younger kids become more of the center of the stories. But right now, like, Simon and Ruthie's stories are just fillers. Like,
And Lucy and Mary kind of, I think, are just, like, pigeonholed into these, like, is that offensive to say pigeonholed?
I don't think so.
That's the way I said it. Like, you know, when you say something and all of a sudden you're like, pigeonholed, a bad word. Used to say that someone or something is being unfairly thought of or described as belonging to a particular group, having only a particular... Oh, yeah, okay. They have been pigeonholed into this, like, boy crazy, like, I don't know.
Like a stereotypical teenage girl.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just... There's so much more depth to teenage girls than just who they're going to make out with next.
Yeah, because we live with one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of not appropriate words.
Oh, episode 13.
The tribes that bind.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't want to say it. The church ladies throw Annie a baby shower and end up snooping in her house. So the still shot is this woman. I can't remember her name, but we've seen her before and she's been meddlesome before.
Yeah, she's the meddlesome church member who
inserts
herself into everybody's business.
She should be Eric's wife.
I know. I feel like her name's like Miss Tabernacle or something. Yeah. Like something
like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Well, that's great. If you like us, if you like what we're talking about, if you want to hear more, you should join our Patreon.
You should.
And we're going to literally hit stop and then hit record and record two Patreon episodes that I think we'll just release
on the go
right away.
Because
here it is. That's we're not scheduled.
It's enough. Our podcast and we can do what we want.
We'll do what we want. God damn it. All right. Well,
have a good night.
You have a good night.
Okay.
Let's get more wine.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Hola mi gente, Rosalind Sanchez here from He Said, Ella Dijo. And although I like drama in my telenovelas, when it comes to real life, I prefer a drama-free casa, thanks to Fabuloso. Its remarkable lavender scent lingers like a longing glance. And with 2 times more active ingredients to take the drama out of any mess, you'll be shouting, gracias. Fabuloso's 2x concentrator formula provides 2x more active cleaning ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso original. Use as directed.